Real Ghost Stories Online.
Historic sites. Historic sites can often be fodder for ghost stories, whether there's any ghost stories or not. And you know, for good reason. There's a storied history to them. And naturally, when something has been around for a while and people are telling stories about it, sometimes truly paranormal things will come up. Sometimes it's just added fodder to the legend of what is already there. But oftentimes, there's a basis for those stories. In our next story, we hear about a haunted mill that was once the site of some staging grounds during the Civil War. Burned to the ground several times. Several of the owner's sons volunteered to go off to war. A site that should have seen a lot of happiness also saw much tragedy, but still stands to this day. Long enough for one of our listeners to have a terrifying experience there. It's a site even I have been to, because this story actually takes place where I live in Northwest Arkansas. And now I want to go again myself after hearing this story. Take a listen. This is my fourth time to ride in, and I still have so many stories to share with this community. I've already shared a couple of stories that are mine and one that was my dad's. This story is mine, and it's one of the most recent things that's happened to me. To refresh your memory, I'm a student at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I've lived in Fayetteville for 5 years now and love this area. I graduated with my bachelor's degree from U of A in 2020 and about to graduate with my master's in May in 2022. Since coming to Fayetteville, I've built a community of friends that are more like family. One of the people that I have come into contact with that's changed my life is my boyfriend. We've been dating for almost a year now, and together we've had some interesting experiences. When I met my boyfriend and started dating him in early 2021, he was not a believer. When I first told him about my experiences and my belief in the paranormal, he definitely took it with a grain of salt. He never once said he didn't believe me or discounted my experiences. I did know that he never personally let himself believe the paranormal world existed. A fast forward to the fall of 2021, and that might have changed. October is absolutely one of my favorite months of the year. My boyfriend and I are both Christians and grew up in Christian homes, so Halloween wasn't celebrated as much. In fact, my boyfriend's mom hates Halloween. She doesn't like the holiday or the activities surrounding the month of October. So as my boyfriend, he decided to not say anything about the month that I was so excited for and couldn't wait for all the fall things. We did pretty much everything you can think of when you think of traditional fall activities. Went to a local pumpkin patch, picked fall flowers. Went through a corn maze, a hayride, carved jack-o'-lanterns with our closest friends. It was a fun night until we all decided to tell ghost stories. We were at our on-campus ministry house. It sits on the edge of the university campus. So we went inside with our carved pumpkins, turned out the lights to make the scary effect even more dramatic, and closed the curtains to block headlights or streetlights from coming in the windows of the front room. This is a two-story house with a basement downstairs. It's one large open room. That's where we have our large gatherings for meals and worship nights. Upstairs, where we were currently at, is more like a residential living space. It's a fully functioning kitchen that leads into a living room, and there's a hallway on the other side of the room that leads to the bathroom, and three bedrooms which have been converted into office spaces for students to do homework or Zoom meetings or take naps between classes. It's also just a general hangout spot for any of our students here throughout the week. Anyways, we were in the living room. All the outside lights shut out by curtains. All the lights in the house turned off. The only source of light we had were the carved pumpkin sitting in the center of our circle in the ground. We each took turns telling the stories that we heard growing up on popular ghost stories of the area. Since most of my friends' group grew up in Northwest Arkansas, my boyfriend and I both grew up in Central Arkansas, so it was neat to hear stories from the area that you can't really find on the internet. One of my friends, we'll call her Allison, grew up in Fayetteville after her family moved here from Missouri when she was in middle school. She spent her teenage years in Fayetteville. Her parents are really involved in the church and actually worked at the private Christian school that she and her siblings grew up going to. Her dad was a principal and her mom was an assistant to the administration office. She grew up not celebrating Halloween or really believing in the paranormal, like most of my friends and my boyfriend, but that didn't stop her from listening to campfire ghost stories. One summer, she went on a camping trip with her closest friends from high school where she heard the story of the War Eagle Mill ghosts. Now, bear with me, because I need to share my friend's story in order to set up mine and my boyfriend's experience better. My friend retold a story as told to her by a friend on this camping trip. War Eagle Mill is located in War Eagle, Arkansas, on the War Eagle Creek. Names are not very original here. Anyways, the War Eagle Mill was built in 1832 by Sylvanus and Catherine Blackburn. They were married at a young age, moved to Arkansas from their home in Tennessee. Sylvanus broke out on his own, leaving Catherine behind for the time being. He stopped once he found the lush valley next to the War Eagle Creek. He sent for Catherine, and together they began building their home using wood from the surrounding forest. That house is still in use today. After they got a solid shelter built, they turned their attention to planting corn on their new land, but there was a problem. The closest mill that could grind their corn was 25 miles away. They realized they would need to build their own mill. The nearby creek provided the perfect opportunity to do so. After they built their mill, their neighbors began bringing their corn to the Blackburns for grinding, and a small community began to grow in the valley around the mill. Unfortunately, the mill was pushed into the river by flooding in 1848. It was completely destroyed, and the Blackburns had to rebuild. Only 13 years later, the Civil War broke out. The Blackburns had several children at this point, and five of their sons enlisted in the Confederate Army. The remaining family members went to Texas to ride out the war further away from the border of the Union-supporting states. It would be 4 years until any family members returned to the War Eagle Valley. During the vacancy, the Union Army took residence in the valley. They used the mill to grind grain for food, and they quickly left when the Confederate Army started advancing. The Confederate Army began using the mill, but they only stayed for 2 days. The Confederate general ordered that the mill should be burned to the ground to prevent the Union from using it again. After the war ended, Sylvanus and Catherine and their children came back to the home they had made all those years before to find the house still standing. They did find that the mill was gone. They decided to build again. Sylvanus' son, James Austin Cameron Blackburn, took charge of rebuilding. He decided to add a sawmill this time. Construction finished in 1873, and the oldest building on the University of Arkansas campus was built using lumber from this sawmill. Old Main is the building, and it's still operational to this day, holding classes and faculty offices. The mill remained operational until 1942. Another fire that was caused for an unknown reason burned to the ground, leaving only the foundation. The foundation stayed bare, and the property changed hands before it would be rebuilt again. This time, the owners were Jewel Medlin and his wife, Leda. The Medlins and their daughter, Zoe Kaywood, found the blueprints of the third rebuild and began building it for the fourth time in 1973. They decided to add the water wheel that was originally part of the building when Sylvanus built it for the first time. It's the same water wheel that's in operation today, even. Now Marty and Elsie Roenick own the War Eagle Mill and have continued to produce products for sale in the shop that's on the bottom floor of the mill. Visitors can go there still to see the gorgeous structure, working water wheel that uses the power of the river to grind grain to even this day. In the mill house, there's a shop on the first floor and the restaurant on the second floor for visitors to enjoy a meal. The main access road that you must drive to get to the mill forces you to drive over the War Eagle River on a one-lane bridge. This bridge is where many ghosts have been seen. Local legend shares of two main sightings that happened at the mill. The Farrister Sylvanus, founder of War Eagle Mill, builder of the original mill, it's said that he still haunts the property where he spent so much of his life and invented so much of himself. People have said that they've seen a man with a long white beard wandering the surrounding parking lot and riverbank, who they credit to be Sylvanus. And others have seen him in the mill or around the house he originally built for his family. It still stands. They've also pinned many poltergeist activities on Sylvanus. Things being moved or thrown in the shop restaurant, or quiet whispered conversations when no one else was in the building. Now, their presence often seen at the mill is a Confederate soldier. People have seen a full-bodied apparition wandering along the banks of the river, sadly looking into the water. Others have seen him walking over the bridge or sitting on the edge of the bridge. Sometimes there's sightings of several Confederate soldiers patrolling the area. After hearing these stories, I was immediately intrigued. I did some research to fact-check the background of the mill and the reported sightings, all of which seemed to match what Allison told our friend's group that night. I decided I wanted to go to War Eagle Mill for myself to see if I could find anything. Honestly, I've been to the mill before to see the surrounding landscape and a shop at the mill. It's a gorgeous drive in the spring and in the fall. I've been wanting to take my boyfriend to the War Eagle Craft Fair, which is a huge fair that vendors from everywhere come to set up tents and canopies to host a booth to sell goods and handmade items. Well, we couldn't make it up there last year for it, but I still wanted to take him anyways. We ended up getting to go out in mid-November, and that's where my story begins. My boyfriend and I decided to go later in the day after we got out of classes on a weekday. The area can get very crowded on the weekends, and people stay long after dark to enjoy the sunset. Well, I knew that we went at a time that the mill wouldn't have many visitors. The mill also operates on winter hours starting in November, so they close earlier than in the spring or summer months. The restaurant doesn't stay open for dinner during the winter months so that employees can get home by dark or shortly thereafter. My boyfriend and I drove up there and looked around at the grounds and shopped. Soon, the sun was setting. My boyfriend wanted to leave to go get dinner. I convinced him to stay, not telling him the real reason for my desire to stay long after the employees and other visitors had left. He already knew by this point about my belief in the paranormal, but I hadn't told him about my research of the mill. We sat in the parking lot with the car turned off for about an hour until the last employee locked the door and left in her car. We just laughed and talked for about 30 more minutes, and my boyfriend was getting really hungry. Truth be told, so was I. After etching out a plan for dinner, I started the car to drive back to Fayetteville, but my boyfriend gasped immediately. My headlights had turned on when I started the engine. They were shining across the river at the opposite bank. There was a man standing there staring down at the water. My blood ran cold, and I knew immediately what we were looking at. He was clothed in gray soldier's clothing from head to toe. My boyfriend was still reeling from shock since we hadn't seen anyone on that side of the river since sundown. He asked me if I saw the man too, and I confirmed that I did. I could tell he was trying to make sense of why a random man dressed as a Confederate soldier would be wandering the banks of the river in an otherwise desolate area so late at night. Of course, we were out there in the middle of nowhere late at night, so we couldn't really talk. My boyfriend said, "I didn't even see the car drive up. Where did he come from?" He was in shock, as was I. It's not often you see a full-bodied apparition so clearly. He wasn't seeing through or being misty at all. He was a solid figure. My boyfriend also had a point. This area near War Eagle is not very populated. There are houses along the road that lead to the mill, but far enough that driving to the river would make more sense. And the fact that he was dressed in period clothing was even more confusing. There's no doubt that Civil War reenactments take place in Northwest Arkansas. This whole area is plagued by tragic events that happened during the Civil War, including two major battlefields. One happened near War Eagle, the other in a small town called Pea Ridge. It's about 35 minutes north of the mill, where many of the soldiers that occupied the mill in those days and weeks before the battle died. Also, five of Blackburn's sons joined the Confederate Army, so it isn't surprising to know that this sighting has been reported multiple times. He sat there in silence as a man stayed motionless, staring down at the water in front of him. My boyfriend was getting more and more anxious as he's very protective of me. He urged me to start driving, so I put the car in reverse, backed out of the parking lot, got into the road, and turned left to go over the one-lane bridge. As we were crossing the bridge, my boyfriend and I looked over to the left side of the bridge to the opposite riverbank to see if we could spot the man. And he was gone. My boyfriend seemed suspicious, but there would have been enough time for a human to simply back into the tree line or walk further down the riverbank to get out of sight in the time it took us to drive to the bridge. It wasn't until the same man appeared out of thin air, right in front of my car, on the wooden bridge, in my headlights. He stopped on the brakes and carefully coasted to a stop on the narrow bridge. My boyfriend let out a "What the hell?" and I just blinked at the ghost that had appeared in front of us. His head was down in a mournful way, and his hands were at his sides. He was standing right in the middle of the bridge. There was no room for my car to get around him on either side. I sat there waiting for something. At this point, my boyfriend is thoroughly freaking out. He starts hitting the dash, urging me to reverse the car to get off the bridge. So I do. As I'm reversing quickly, but carefully, as we are still on a narrow bridge, my car has a backup camera that I use a lot while backing up. My boyfriend kept his eyes on the figure in front of us while I focused on the backup camera. He started screaming as I'm almost to the pavement. He's gone. He's vanished. I slow to a stop, still in reverse. My backup camera is still on, but my car is in reverse. I look up and sure enough, the man is gone. He's no longer in front of us. Only 2 seconds later, that movement attracts our eyes to the screen on my dash. The man is now behind my car. I let out a scream, shifting my car into drive. My boyfriend lets out a stream of cuss words as a man walks slowly towards my car. We're watching the rearview mirrors as he steps onto the bridge, and I hit the gas pedal as hard as I could. I drove over the bridge and onto the road on the other side. We sped through the curvy road back to Highway 412 that leads to Springdale and eventually back home. When we got to my apartment, my boyfriend finally decided to ask about what just happened. We've been silent the entire ride home for about 45 minutes. He asked me if I saw the man or if he'd imagined it. I told him he had not imagined it, confided my own thoughts to him. I felt that it was the same ghost that's been seen by several other people. He simply nodded and didn't say anything else for several hours. We didn't really talk about it again until after dinner, when my boyfriend said, "The way he smiled was what really freaked me out." I asked him what he was talking about, and he told me that when I was reversing the car and he was still standing and staring at that soldier, the soldier looked up at him and smiled through the windshield right before he disappeared. That sent shivers through me. I never saw the smile since I was focused on backing up. That's the last time either of us have been to War Eagle. I've mentioned going back in the springtime to see the blooming flowers and trees and such, and my boyfriend always gives a vague answer like, "Yeah, we'll go back someday," or, "Sure, babe, we can go later." He never wants to talk about actually making plans to return, especially if it's after dark. We'll see if I can ever get him to return. I do plan on going back with my mom when she comes to visit later this spring. We do have other stories we experienced at my office building on campus in Eureka Springs, and I'll be writing those in very soon. Always love listening to the show. Can't wait to see what you do with the story.
Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.